Thank you. Well, the synthesizer to me was the first breakthrough for electronic music. And by me frequenting the music shops and being a very enthusiastic about science fiction and all things futuristic, of course, the synthesizer represented the ability to make these futuristic sounds and space sounds and UFO sounds and implement that in the music and over the tracks, because I wanted to land a UFO on top of the track.
The connection between the architects of Afrofuturism, between Sun Ra, Lee Perry and George Clinton, and between techno and jungle later on in the 80s and the 90s, is simply that they hold nothing in common with the common idea of black music, which is that it belongs to the street or to the stage. They're neither live musics nor are they kind of musics that exist out in the urban. They're studio musics, they're impossible imaginary musics, and yet because they're imaginary, they're even more powerful because they suggest a future. They don't reflect the past, they imagine a future.
Detroit is a symbolic location in American culture because it's where the American automotive industry's heart was. It was, you know, the sort of industrial base. But once one encounters the information industry, those industries are now in decay. So now Detroit becomes a relic. It's a decaying structure at a crossroads, so to speak. Techno coming out of Detroit represents that kind of urban youth's view of change, of like saying, no longer do we have this industrial kind of base. No longer do we have this kind of security anymore. Everything is flux.
Greg Tate is the writer who argued that black people, in America certainly, live the estrangement that science fiction writers kind of talk about. All the stories about alien abduction, all the stories about alien spaceships taking subjects from one planet and taking them to another, genetically transforming them. Greg is kind of recasting American history in the light of science fiction and saying, well, look, all those things that you read about alien abduction and genetic transformation, they already happened. How much more alien do you think it gets than slavery, than entire mass populations moved and genetically altered, entire status moved, forcibly dematerialized? It doesn't really get much more alien than that.
The first touch with sci-fi is when the slaves were using drums to communicate over the distance. So the slave owners would institute reforms that the slaves were no longer allowed to play certain rhythms, if at all. And they weren't allowed to speak even their own languages. And they had to learn the slave master's language, which is English in, you know, Jamaica or the States or Spanish or Portuguese. But there was always a sense of a displacement of the original code, you know, of the language and drums with the new code or the downloaded new information, you know, downloaded into the cortex or whatever.
Rumor has it that before Robert Johnson made his deal with the devil at the crossroads, he couldn't play to save his life. He sold his soul. In return, he got the secret of the blues. Our thief from the future gives up the right to belong in his time in order to come to our time to find the mothership connection. The thief becomes an angel of history.
The data thief can visit the old world and the new, but he cannot be a part of either. He doesn't know this is his problem, but when he makes his last trip to Africa, he will.
This use of fictional genre has a precedence in my collaborative writing in Black Audio, in Hands With Songs and in Twilight City. I wanted to return to this approach to write a documentary whose framing narrative reflected its core subject matter, fiction, science fiction, space exploration, and the fictions of science, whose claims were basis in actuality remained unresolved, and whose irresolution I sustained. My reference for this was Derrida's reading of the mythopoetic in Levi Strauss. But whereas Levi Strauss cited in Derrida's Structure, Sign and Play in the Discourse of the Human Sciences a certain opposition between discourses whose authority is based in claims to scientific knowledge, you're getting a bit of feedback on this, and the structural analysis of myth, which structural analysis overturns by assuming the form of its subject matter, my use in Last Angel of tropes of science fiction and music criticism as narratives that cohere and compel the film's discursive components present a work that both takes place through the narrative form of its subjects and through the interviews I scripted and which A Comfort and I conducted. It produces new knowledge of the relation between Africa, its diaspora, memory and futurology through Last Angel's engagement with Afrofuturism. Third use of citation is Walter Benjamin's thinking on the fragment for a discursive relation of textual interweaving between Akampra and myself. The film's title emerged from our reading of Benjamin's text, Theses on the Philosophy of History, which I further integrated into my script and presentation. The data thief's task of restoring meaning to the phrase mothership connection makes the restorative function Benjamin gives to the book collector and the angel of history of making new in the present an old world and making whole in the present what's been broken, one of acquiring knowledge of the future by making whole the fragments of the past. In Last Angel, the fragment is constituted by phonographic and cinematographic images, or phonography and cinematography, if you like. A phonographic fragment of Johnson's Me and the Devil Blues sets my narrative on music and stellar migration in motion. Benjamin's term, The Crossroads, in his text, I think it's from 1931, the destructive character, the crossroads describes a multi-perspectival point of departure for violence. In Last Angel, the term designates a concern with the body that was informed by Deleuze and Guattari's thinking on the line. During the production of the film, I used Deleuze and Guattari's idea of a segmented line of becoming as a point of departure to think of Johnson's use in Crossroads Blues, of the blues metaphor of the crossroads as an intersection of lines along which more than one line of desire of becoming, that of Johnson and the data thief, for example, takes place. Now, in Deleuze and Guattari, the segmented line of becoming marks the movement of affective states, highs or periods of depression, as they put it, and the characteristics of the blues, a music that one blues historian, a guy called Garon, calls a music of a deep concern with love and all that is touched by love, a music which, as Goldie says in the film, came out of a depression. The music, the mood of that music, Goldie tells us, was blue. The segmented line of becoming thus suggested a chromatic relation of affect between the rural music of pre-war African America, post-war French philosophy, and speculative fiction. The line of segmentarity, constituent of the crossroads of archaeological exploration and figurative poetic becoming, at which I stand in the film and narrativize The Last Angel's opening sequence, is a blue line or a blues line of becomings which are textual and take place by figuration in writing as songwriting. Another example, let's go to Roland Barthes. The approach in Barthes in his text, the theory of the text, of what he calls variations of person and tense. In my commentaries, went through a citation of a fragment from Sun Ra's poem, The Sound Image, in which Sun Ra writes, "The music is the living mirror of the universe." I think I did 9 commentaries, and in the 5th one that comprises my post-production script, I made these words, Sun Ra's words, those of Ra and Lee Perry, which they speak in unison. "Our music is a mirror of the universe. We explore the future through music." It's another example of citationality. A quotation from Donna Haraway's Cyborg Manifesto, Science, Technology and Socialist Feminism in the Late 20th Century. And the quote is this: "The line between science fiction and social reality is an optical illusion." When me and John encountered Haraway's phrase, it was already the subject of a reinscription in John Corbett's book Extended Play, sounding off from John Cage to Dr. Funkenstein. In Last Angel, I use the phrase as a narrative device for a conversion through the body of the data thief of the spatial and the virtual. The philosopher Henri Bergson describes the virtual as a visual effect produced when light is caught between two surfaces that reflect its luminosity, by which an increase of luminosity is perceived as the reflection of light is repeated by the two refractive surfaces. The virtual in Bergson is therefore descriptive of an optical illusion, understood as an effect on perception of the refraction of light. In my commentary script, the virtual is descriptive of an Africa visually and sonically present to the data thief as light experienced through virtual media as space. I repeated Corbett's quotation of Haraway through the 3 stages of my writing: in the pre-production script, in my presentation during the film's production, and my commentary script in post-production. In my presentation, I weave into Haraway's phrase a quote from Hannah Arendt, who, if you recall, did the introduction to Benjamin's book Illuminations. And in that quote, Arendt cites Benjamin's, and I'm quoting from Hannah Arendt now, his delight that 2 grains of wheat could contain the entire Shema Israel, the very essence of Judaism, the tiniest essence appearing in the tiniest entity. The data thief wanders through the ruins, the detritus, the wastelands of our late 20th century, and he comes across a little piece of stone, a fragment. Written on it is a strange phrase: "The line between social reality and science fiction is an optical illusion." In this example, I inscribe the narrative of the data thief into a Benjaminian preoccupation with the fragment, which Hannah Arendt names as Benjamin's object of a capacity for citation, which, in the cessation of the transmission of knowledge through traditional forms, is the means through which the present is rendered unstable. In my commentary script, I used Haraway's phrase of John's suggestion to name the location of the data thief's permanent exile. We thus used Haraway's phrase to present an unstable virtual future. Here's another example of the citationality of work in the film. It's Freud's theories of the death instinct and the unconscious which work through my readings of Garon's Blues and the Poetic Spirit, which is a good book, and my citation of Johnson's Me and the Devil Blues. The death instinct describes an urge that the body conveys to the mind, whose function is to counter the body's urge to self-preservation, its life instinct, and it serves to guide the body in its movement towards life's cessation, the end of life. Freud suggests that inanimacy may be the primordial condition from which life begins. the death instinct thereby returns the body to this founding state. Freud also suggests that the death instinct's manifestations include instincts of destruction and aggression. And he observed a correlate between the unconscious and language, in which the unconscious has a commonality with language, in the sense that, like language, its workings can be detected through the linguistic processes of interpretation and translation. Now, Garin draws a connection between the language of the blues and the unconscious with reference to Robert Johnson's Me and the Devil Blues. And that informed my use of Johnson's song. A Comfort's placing of that song before my presentation in the film's pre-title sequence makes my citation of Johnson a collaboratively authored citation in which it's present an opening onto an unconscious knowledge of the African diasporic condition of slavery. There's a moment in the film, I think it's about 25 minutes in, and it's the moment in which Johnson's song could be said to articulate this unconscious. Here, Akamfa repeats, beneath my interview with DJ Spooky, the phonographic fragment with which we begin the film, Me and the Devil. You hear that phonographic citation right at the beginning of the film. But what Jumpa does, what he did, was he excises, he cuts Johnson's following phrase, I'm going to beat my woman. And he does that, as Spooky describes, in response to the script of my interview, Africa's first touch, as Spooky calls it, with science fiction, via the use of drums to create proximity from dislocation over the distance, as he says. After which, he says, slave owners and slave masters prohibited slaves from playing certain rhythms and speaking in their indigenous languages. This overlay and excision of phonographic archive beneath A-roll interview footage aims to have three effects. Firstly, in the absence of the song's narrative of sexual violence, the slave owner's silencing of the music of the enslaved suggests a conversion with the silence of death, what Freud calls the quiescence of the inorganic world, and which Freud describes as the goal of the death instinct, and which operates in contrast to the sonorous, noisy nature of desire, from which the death instinct is inseparable. The slave owner's silencing of music also meets the function Derrida and Prenovitz detect in the silence Freud attributes to the death instinct's capacity for destruction and incitement to amnesia through the destruction of the archive by which forgetting takes place. Here's the second effect. The slave owner, understood as the agent of this incitement, is thus rendered the figuration of the devil with which Freud embodies the death instinct's principle of evil. The slave master, embodiment of destruction, through whose silencing historical forgetting is instituted, is thus synonymous with the asonorous presence of the devil in Johnson's song. In Last Angel, the memory of slavery, which is absent from Garon's registration of themes that might constitute the repressed content of the unconscious in the blues, is thus made present to the blues through a comfort's direction of my citational screenwriting and presentation, and is given voice through our engagement with DJ Spooky. The interview with DJ Spooky gives this moment in the film its third significance. Spooky's phrase, the first touch with science fiction, echoes its earlier presence in the film, where it's present as a line in my first commentary, I think it's about 4 minutes in, which is itself a citation of my interview script and my interpretive, citational reading and writing of Van Sertima's citation of an anthropological text in Africa, The Voice, Communication, and the Condensation of Distance in his book, Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern. So I thus inscribed in the film an origin of a science fictional Africa through the work of research and writing informed by citational reading and listening. You are.